Okay. First reading, Acts 17:22-31. Paul stood up in the middle of the council on Mars Hill and said, "People of Athens, I see that you are very religious in every way. As I was walking through town and carefully observing your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What you worship was unknown. I now proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it is Lord of heaven and earth. He does not live in temples made with human hands, nor is God served by human hands, as though he needed something, since he is the one who gives life, breath, and everything else. From one person, God created every human nation to live on the whole earth. Heaven determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their lands. God made the nations so they would seek him, perhaps even reach out to him and find him. In fact, God isn't far away from any of us. In God we live, move, and exist. As some of your own poets said, we are his offspring. Therefore, as God's offspring, we have no need to image that the divine being is like a gold, silver, or stone image made by human skill and thought. God overlooks ignorance of these things in times past, but now directs everyone everywhere to change their hearts and lives. This is because God had set day when he intended to judge the world justly by a man he has appointed. God has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. The world of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Psalm 66:8-20. Read responsively. Piano side reads the light verses. Courtyard side reads the bold verses.
Bless our God,
let the sound of praise be heard. Our God has kept us among the living and has not allowed our feet to slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us just as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid heavy burdens upon our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us out into places of refreshment.
I will enter your house with burnt offerings and will pay you my vows.
Those that I promised with my lips and spoke with my mouth when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings, fatlings with the smoke of rams. I will give you oxen and goats.
Come and listen, all you who believe, and I will tell you what God has done for me.
I called out to God with my mouth and praised the Lord with my tongue.
If I had cherished evil in my heart, the Lord would not have heard me.
But in truth, God has heard me and has attended to the sound of my prayer.
Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer, nor withheld unfailing love.
Second reading, 1 Peter 3:13-22. Who will harm you if you are zealous for good? But happy are you, even if you suffer because of righteousness. Don't be terrified or upset by them. Instead, regard Christ the Lord as a holy in your hearts. Whenever everyone asks, you speak of your home and read to define it. Yet this, with respectful humanity, maintaining good consistency, act in this way so that those who malling of God, good lifestyle in Christ may be ashamed when they slander you. It is better to suffer for doing good, if this could possibly be good God's will, than doing evil. Christ himself suffered on account of sins, one for all the righteousness on one behalf of the unrighteous. He did not this in order to bring you into the presence of God. Christ was put to death as a human, but made alive by the Spirit. And it was the Spirit that he went to preach to spirits in prison. In the past, these spirits were disobedient. When God apparently waited during the time of Noah, Noah built an ark in which a few, that is eight, lives were rescued through the water. Baptism is like that. It saves you now. Not because it removes dirt from your body, but because it's the mark of a good consistent towards God. Your salvation comes through a reassurance of Jesus Christ, who is at God's right side. Now that he was gone into heaven, he rules over all angels, authorities, and powers. The world of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. I will ask the Father, and he will send another companion who will be with you forever. This companion is the Spirit of truth, whom the world can't receive because it neither sees him nor recognizes him. You know him, because he lives with you and will be with you. I won't leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. On that day you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them loves me. Whoever loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated.
Invite the children to come forward. Well, like our adult friends this morning, who are all looking pretty bright and summery today. I see some shorts, I see some bright colors. What's that all about?
It's spring.
It's spring. Spring has finally sprung.
Well, actually, in my house, we think that we skipped spring and spring is summer.
It kind of feels like that, right? Yesterday was the first 70-degree day, and the first 60-degree day wasn't all that long ago. Heat wave, yeah.
Well, I feel like it just went like winter, summer.
Yeah, we might have skipped.
Winter, summer, winter, summer.
But in all reality, this is spring now, but what comes right around the corner?
Summer.
What happens in summer?
It's the end of the school year party and have ice cream.
Hold on. Yeah. We get to jump into some pools. I did hear that it's the end of school.
And we're going to finish the Marion Trench, so we get an ice cream party.
And there is a specific thing going on on your fast meal right now. We'll do an inside joke. Okay, so summer is a pretty big deal, I'm hearing. Okay. Are any of you, hold on, buddy, are any of you going to a summer camp? Yes? Where are you going? Wait, what kind of camp are you going to? Going to go to a summer camp?
And also at the end of August, we're going to be going on a sailboat.
Sailboat for a kind of camp? Yeah, that's pretty easy. Leanna, I know, yes, you are, and you seem excited to talk about it. What camp are you going to? You're going to Wade to camp.
I am going to Idaho.
You're going to Idaho? So you're going to Luther River? Idaho?
Oh!
Okay, there's a Luther Wood in Washington, there's a Luther Wood in Oregon, there's a Luther Haven in Idaho, and honestly, I cannot keep them all straight. I thought you were going to the one in Bellingham.
Yeah, but I was supposed to go to like seven other kids, and some other kids in Oregon is taking me to a lodge or cabins, and
Hope's
coming with me, and we're just
going to
have a
little bit. So you sound pretty excited. What day is today?
Mother's Day.
Mother's Day, yes.
We already gave our cards
to Liz. That's very good. Well, when you go away to camp, Juliana, Mother's Day is going to be quite a bit in the rear view mirror. But it's going to probably say goodbye to Mom. You've done it before. I've done it for that long before. It's a couple of few days. How do you feel reassured that when you're gone, Mom still loves you, and you're still going to come back and see Mom again?
Because she's my mom, and that's her job.
She's your mom, that's her job. You can just trust her in that way. Well, I think that's pretty similar, I think, to what Jesus is saying to his disciples. When he goes away, he still loves his people. They might not see him, but he still loves them. They still love him, and he's only going to be gone for a little while. And you're only going to be at camp for a little while. And you're only going to be at camp for a little while.
He's invisible. He's
Holy
Spirit.
Yes, and God's Holy Spirit is invisible. Yes, it's with us.
Yeah.
So, we can go and we can know that we still have God with us. But I have a suggestion, perhaps, for those who are going away to camp. Or just maybe a little extra reassurance when we say goodbye to Mom, and even Dad, too. Maybe a little hug, maybe a little kiss goodbye, and maybe send some letters when you're out on your way. Does that sound good?
How long is summer camp?
How long are summer camps? Sometimes they're like a week long. I think that's kind of typical. But your mileage may vary, literally. Idaho, Bellingham, Oregon, is all different.
Arizona.
Arizona, Alaska. We could really be expanding our
Antarctica.
If you want to set up a summer camp in Antarctica, I'll be right behind you.
That would be a
winter camp. That's really intense. Okay. Well, my friends, can we have a quick prayer before you are released to Sunday school?
Moo.
A moo cow prayer? Well, Lord, whether it be moo or blue, we will see cows this summer. We're seeing bright blue flowers, bright blue skies, and we just ask that you would be with us as we journey wherever it may be this summer. To walk you around town and soak in these things as we might travel near and far as well. And we ask for your traveling mercies in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen.
You may return to your seats or to
something. We are holy.
My legs are holy.
We are holy. Amen. Hallelujah. The sun gives energy. Well, in the future, everyone
will be world famous for 15 minutes. Or so Andy Warhol is famously to have said. But like many famous quotes, the famous person to whom it is attributed probably isn't the one who said it. Or even if they did say it, they probably weren't the first. While that quote's appearance in promotional materials for an exhibit by Warhol in 1968 Stockholm made it famous, the producer of the exhibit questioned its authenticity even then. To which, he later wrote in his memoirs, the museum director replied, if he didn't say it, he very well could have said it. So they used it. Now, that was scarcely 55 years ago, and yet over time there's been some loss in translation. To my mind, as a child, it meant everybody will get on TV at some time. I didn't even anticipate more than 15 seconds of local fame. I figured anybody who looked at the camera and waved behind the field reporter on the Cairo 7 News had checked that box. And in the realm of lowered expectations and little time spent in Seattle as a kid from the island, I wasn't going to get that chance. TV cameras just didn't show up on Main Street in Freeland looking to do their man on the street segments. So nah, if I wanted to get on TV, I knew I was going to have to aim lower. So one day at the Alderwood Mall, went across the ferry, went into town, as we say, I had my moment. I saw myself on one of those old cathode ray tube TV screens on the wall, because the department store that we were in was using closed-circuit TV for security purposes. And if she hadn't been there right beside me in that moment, I very well might have done what many a young man I'd seen when noticing himself in front of the cameras would do around that time, and give a little shout-out. Hi, Mom! Most of those guys that I've seen model this reaction is just like what you do when you get that one chance you might never have again. We're college football players on the sideline, going to or coming back from commercial. Now, I wouldn't understand until I was quite a bit older some of the dynamics that were going on there. Major college football players for the Washington schools then, as now, largely come from Southern California. The guys USC and UCLA didn't want. Back in those days, only a select few of the games on the schedule were on TV. It was kind of a big deal. After the home teams turned them down, most of these guys would have had either Don James or Mike Price in their living rooms, maybe both, depending on their recruiting process, before they had to pick one program or another. With their moms and dads in the room, those coaches would have given and those boys would have heard a promise, not too different, really, from what Jesus made to his disciples. I will not leave you as orphans. Come 1,000 miles away and you'll be part of another family. We will take care of you in the absence of mom and dad. We will look out for you and I don't really know how the rest of the pitch goes. Major college football programs express zero interest in backup receivers in triple option running games from small Washington high schools that lose most of their games by 5 or 6 touchdowns. But being a good Coug and a good Lutheran, applying the Catechism's call to apply the 8th commandment generously, and speak well of those coaches and interpret everything they do in the best possible light, I'm going to assume that they spoke another truth into the ears and the hearts of those young men and their families. Again, along the lines of what Jesus said about himself, soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. In the context of high-profile sports, I think that shows up as a coach being only as good and as liked and as welcome as their last season or two's win-loss percentage on the field, among the general fan base. But coaches of great character sometimes lose a lot of games. The idea of a student athlete is anything more than a farce, and that's admittedly more questionable in the high-dollar revenue sports now than probably ever before. A game is meant to be something more lasting, to build character, to help these guys get an education, to learn teamwork and pride, humility and success and in defeat. And some of the bozos in the stands who down too many Busch Lights might just call for the coach's head, but for the players, if they did the right thing, they will always be remembered as mentors who helped them get a leg up in life. The most recent coach to have any success with Old Wazoo football was Mike Leach, who died unexpectedly of a massive heart attack last year when he was in the midst of his new tenure down at Mississippi State. And I wanted him fired as recently as when Holden was born. By not having our team prepared in week one, I felt like he had tried to ruin that day with the embarrassment of losing to pitiful Portland State just a few hours before he arrived in the world. But we went on to win bigger games with him at the helm over the next 4 years, and far more importantly, the man graduated his players. He didn't chew them up and spit them out to sacrifice to winning at any cost, but held high standards and built strong character in guys who, by and large, did not go on to make their living as professional football players. Mentoring and discipling in Jesus' day carried with it honor and shame as well. The late theologian Gale O'Day wrote that disciples whose master had failed them or left them or disappointed them, these disciples were then called orphans. They would be shamed, at least until they could catch on with another new, more promising master or teacher. By dying on an imperial cross, Jesus was a hopeless loser, to put it into football coach terms. Like a scrappy, young, energetic hire who promised big things and then went out there to get completely and utterly trounced by the Trojans and the Spartans, or their successors, anyway. But in his farewell discourse with his disciples, Jesus is telling his high mom kind of guys, goodbye. Goodbye, my children, but only for a little while. His promise to return and the miracle of its fulfillment provide an inoculation against giving up hope when all does appear to be lost. The word orphan is one that we hear a lot in this church. Grace's support of young people from Uganda orphaned by the AIDS epidemic in that country has been going on for years. And the annual fundraiser concert is just 2 weeks from today. We know the Lord wills no one to be left orphaned. And one way we keep his commandments in this community is to care for the orphan and the widow as the scripture commands. In Exodus, in the Psalms, in the prophecies of Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah, in Paul's letters and James. Need I go on? Scarcely any of us knows truly what it is to be orphaned in our own experience, but we have heard the call to not let it happen. Or if it has happened, not to let it remain. Don't let it be a condemnation to poverty and marginalization, even a death sentence, truly and sadly, all too often. Forgive me if this seems off, but ever since last year's forum in the fellowship hall where Sharon talked about the program in Uganda and Teresa showed the slides from her trip there, what has lodged itself firmly in my mind was Dee Dee's heartfelt testimony of the significance of her pen pal relationship with one of the orphans and students. And the nickname that she received through the correspondence, My Aged Friend. Right? We all laugh, and it's a great story, but it also illustrates something much deeper about being in God's beloved community. It's fostering an environment in which we aren't so timid and painstakingly careful not to say the wrong thing, but honest and open and loving enough that the wrong thing is exactly the right thing. Now, I remember that story Dee Dee told and that nickname when I see her excited, that same gleam in her eye when she's passionate about anything else. And I myself, having become a little more aged, friends, hopefully sometimes a little wiser for it as well. I don't much care about achieving 15 minutes of fame anymore. Gosh, in 2023, I'm lucky if a 15-second video isn't taken by my child of me doing something stupid and making me infamously viral. But the $15 pledge that we make each month from Vanessa's substitute teaching is important. We do care about that and it going to help the orphans in Uganda. We'd love it if she got a full-time gig in the fall and could up that pledge a bit accordingly. Please pray. And pray as we approach the day of Pentecost. It's the same day as the concert to benefit the orphans. The Holy Spirit would come, our companion, our advocate, helper, counselor, comforter, friend. The English translations use all kinds of synonyms. But the Spirit would come and continue in the words of Craig Kester, the Luther Seminary New Testament professor, to disclose the truth about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and the presence of the risen Jesus and his Father to the community of faith. Amen.
Amen.